Using pre-planned lines on dating apps to start conversation does not work generally for women because we have a sixth sense. We have like a sniff test. We can tell that those lines are maybe lines that you got from a YouTube pickup artist dude, or you even maybe came up with it on your own, but now you've used it for every single girl over and over and over. It's like that saying, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, or teach a man how to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. Give a man a pre-written line and he'll date for a day. Teach him how to banter and he'll date for a lifetime. Or maybe not a lifetime, because you'll find the one right away and then you'll stop dating and you'll just be married. But you know what I mean. I am Kristen from KristenandChill.com, and I am the banter queen. I teach guys how to charm more than just the socks off of women. And if you're struggling in conversation, if you're getting ghosted, if you're never hearing back, if you're never, ever getting the results that you deserve, hit me up at KristenandChill.com.
Want to know the hidden meaning behind what women say and do? Then check out The Chictionary. It's the Wing Girl Method's manual that gives you a full rundown of all the things women say that confuse men, written in dictionary format. Go get a copy of The Chictionary by going to winggirlmethod.com/chick. That's winggirlmethod.com/chick.
Welcome to the Ask Women podcast, where you get real advice straight from the source. I'm Kristen Carney, a comedian and confused human being. Follow me on Twitter at Kristen Carney. Of course, we're here with Marnie Kinross, the owner of the Wing Girl Method and best-selling author. And again, we have Anderson Cowan with us. Yeah, I said it right. I chose to say it right because I was still going to say it wrong, but I felt like an asshole. And we have Art in the booth, though I'm remembering to introduce this time. I'm very excited about it.
I don't know why that's happening, but thank you.
I don't either.
You remember every time now.
No,
keep saying,
no,
yes,
this is the first
time. Usually I'll say it into the intro, like past.
You're like, oh, and I forgot.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me do this. But this was like a much more.
Yeah, that was much nicer.
You want to know actually why I remember this time was because I just looked over and I said, Farty Artie.
Oh, yeah, that's real original.
Thank you.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I'm sure. Sixth grade. Welcome back.
Oh, we're going back to like preschool. Come on.
Yeah. I'm very mature. But today we have my friend Allie Breen coming on the show. She's a very funny comic. And she's gotten some funny dating stories from dating 90s sitcom actors.
I thought you were saying 90-year-old men. I was excited.
Eventually. She'll get there eventually. Sure, her standards are a little higher right now. And then I just want to say also to our listeners, thank you so much for downloading and for subscribing.
Yeah.
And for rating our podcast. We've gotten a lot of good reviews lately.
Yeah.
Please continue to
lately.
Do that.
We were shit in the beginning.
Well, actually, we went through a little bit of a phase where they're like, these girls.
Yeah. Who are these people? Like, I did give feedback once. I went on Yelp only because somebody asked me to and because they were a fantastic above and beyond salesperson. But I don't think I would go on and like bash people.
That's where it always goes.
I do it under a secret identity.
And no one goes on the internet. No one like rarely do people say like, I love that so much. I can't
talk
about
it.
People are like, fuck you. I'm going to go bitch about you behind your back now.
I actually take time out of my day to make a point to go and be positive on the internet.
That's the real thing.
Yeah.
Where do you go be positive?
Wherever it may be, like Yelp, Twitter, just to show support in places where I see many people getting.
Oh, you're awesome.
You know what the internet.
Go to my YouTube page.
You know what the internet is? It's like Ghostbusters sludge in the movie. Where it's like under the city and it's just negative energy.
Ectoplasm.
Horrible.
Yeah, like YouTube comments are insane.
Speaking of Ghostbusters, if you want to buy the Ghostbusters DVD to see what we're talking about, you can
on
go to
Amazon
using
page.
The link.
WingGirlMethod.com/Amazon. Yeah, we don't get anything from Amazon.
That's something
nobody's really buying stuff.
Nobody cares. And like, if you want to support this show, really use that Amazon link. It is the easiest, most free, simple thing to do. All you need to do is have a memory. And I know every single person listening to this show has a memory, I hope.
I hope so too. You know, I think they're realizing that they haven't bought shit yet and the show is still on the air. So they don't actually really need to.
Right.
How is it still on?
It's because people are buying other shows.
Right.
That's what it
is. That's
true. That's
keeping us on the air. Well, before I get to something that I want to talk about, I wanted to get to my Wing Girl Minute. Oh, right. Stuck in the dreaded friend zone and desperately want to get out of it. If you want to get out of the friend zone, it's up to you to do something. So turn up your seduction dial and start challenging, flirting, and playfully teasing the woman you want. Remember, the only one keeping you in the friend zone is you. So stop acting like a friend and start acting like a man she wants to be with. I tried to drag out the end so that it could actually get even close to a minute. I'm going to keep talking.
You can talk slower.
I can. I feel like you have to.
Just let you know when we hit a minute.
Yeah, tell me. I'm just going to wait.
Oh my god, I'm so far off.
So if we're in the friend zone, like you gotta be like a little playful flirtatiously, right?
Now it's arts minute.
It amazes me.
Damn it, all right, turn it off.
It amazes me actually how many people are stuck in the friend zone because I genuinely just have a hard time like becoming friends with people.
Right.
The friend zone for me is like that would be heaven. Oh, I have friends, I have people to talk to.
Yeah, you should be happy about the friend zone.
Right. It's
not that bad. What is happening? Am I really doing it that fast? Or he's like on minute three now, right?
Yeah, there's no way. This is no way.
Okay, good. Holy shit, that's weird. Anyway, I'm calling it the wing girl 15 seconds. Or the wing girl tip.
You know the old, it's not even a wives deal because there's so much truth to it, but like we're nice guys always finish last and always the assholes who she likes because these guys
nice guys are
stuck.
Fat and they can't run.
That could be it. That's definitely part of it.
Yeah.
Fat people when they run sound hilarious.
Sound hilarious. It looks hilarious.
They sound like they're going to die. That's hilarious.
It's kind of funny just the breathing and the feet.
Anyways,
it's horrible.
It's like as soon as you stop being nice and like friendly to that girl and you start to be an asshole, that's when they're going to kind of say, hey, look. That's where it comes from.
Yes, for sure. There's a lot of middle ground for all of that. There isn't like be an asshole and you get girls, be a nice guy and you don't. Listen, my husband is the nicest man that I've ever met. He also has a backbone and he tells me what's right, what's wrong. He has an opinion. He's not a wimp and he doesn't let me walk all over him.
Right, but you guys are married. You're locked in.
But before, I wasn't always married to him. He got me in some way mm-hmm. to be attracted. Although, no, mm-hmm. sorry. No, but like...
I think that ladies like to have somebody who's supporting them and very nice on their side, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, if you are a guy and you're doing that for him, they don't want to turn it into anything else where it could become a relationship where he's going to stop being supportive and they're going to start to nag and then...
There's some of that as well.
At the end of the relationship.
But when I'm around a guy in the very beginning, okay, and I'm looking for attraction, I want excitement, and all I see is like, and it's like nice and sweet. It's boring for me. It doesn't make me actually feel anything. And typically because the guy that I'm interacting is sucking up to me in some way. Right. Maybe he doesn't realize that, but he is. He's putting his best foot forward. He's showing me how wonderful a boyfriend he could
he's treating me like
be.
A boss
a little bit where he's not boss. Really stating his opinion.
There's nothing wrong.
Sure, let's do that. I'll be available at 10 o'clock for you to come call me and cry to me about your ex-boyfriend. The thing is
I did that in seventh grade, eighth grade. I used to accept it.
See, exactly.
Stay on the phone with girls all night long. I'd wake up in the morning, they'd still be there.
Yeah,
swear to God, did that a number of times and I wasn't even banging them.
Right, exactly. But that's that whole thing.
Oh, you're such a martyr.
Tried to please them in some way.
I wanted to be their savior. I wanted to be like the big guy. I wanted to be their friend.
It's about being a pleaser, not about being a nice guy. I wish that nice didn't get a bad rap because being nice, there's nothing wrong with being nice. It's about being a wimp and not asking for what
absolutely.
You want.
And people are dumb and they do black and white and boil it down. Like,
yeah, like, oh yeah, guy's an asshole.
Here's the difference. If you go on a date with a guy and he's an asshole, and then he doesn't tip well, it's like, that's an asshole.
Right.
But if you have an asshole that goes out to dinner and he tips great, that's an asshole that's a nice guy.
Or rich.
A nice guy. Right.
But rich guys.
Are you saying that he's an asshole to you on the date about he tips well?
No, but in general, like if he's a tough guy, he's always like, you know, acting like the bad boy. And then the check comes and he's like, I didn't like that waiter or whatever. And right. he gyps him on the tip. But then if you have the guy who's like the tough guy and then he can see the sympathy in someone who's waiting tables and just trying to make a living,
that's
and
not
he tips
asshole.
Well. No, that's what no, I'm
okay.
saying. No, that's
gotcha.
What I'm saying. That's being, that's how you make the, that's how you decipher.
Okay, this is a conversation gotcha. that's on the show recently over the past few weeks. It's come up continuously. And I really think whoever it was in here, the name's escaping me at the moment, but it was
Jason?
The difference between being kind.
I love that he said
that
it.
Was
being kind.
An excellent way to articulate what you guys were talking about. That it resonated with it. Being kind versus being nice.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what it was he said. I
because
love
nice,
said that
you're looking for approval. Being kind is just who you are.
Right.
Yes. It's
confidence in being kind. And really, that's what it comes
to. And like I can tell Anderson
totally
here,
agree.
Big muscles, looks like a douche from Long Beach.
Wow.
Right?
But, yes, absolutely.
Sharp to the point.
But you can tell, is kind.
Fuck you, Ben.
You are kind.
No, nice. Anyone can put nice on it. That is well said.
Right.
Anyone
but
can
are,
put nice
I can
on
tell
it.
You are, you are a kind
nice.
Person.
It's hard to pretend to be kind.
I've seen
I don't
you
think,
with your dog.
Can you pretend to be kind? I don't think you can.
No, you can.
Are you.
That's the difference
exactly.
between
that
nice
is.
And kind.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good way
nice
of framing
kind.
It then.
Thank you, nameless guest of Ask Women's Past.
No, it's Jason Capital. WingGirlMethod.com/JasonC. Yes, we said it before.
No, it's not. And I make fun of him.
Yeah, that's not a kind.
I call him not his real
name.
I call
him. Be cruel to be.
I'm not going to say what his real name is, but that's not his
I call him lowercase.
It's a show. It's a show name. Okay.
I was thinking city capital.
I wanted to bring up something. So when my mom was in town visiting, we were talking about like, you know, men paying for the
dinner. Mm-hmm. And so we were in the car ride home afterwards. And she goes, you know what? When I was younger, I remember I had a dinner man. And I was like, what's a dinner man?
He's
like, well, a guy that would just take me out for dinner.
Right.
And I was like, okay, and you didn't date him or do anything with him? She's like, no, he just went out for dinner.
Dinner man.
They would do this for like a year.
She probably had a dude afterwards that was a dessert guy.
I'm sure she did. My mom was a slut. No, she's joking. But I thought that was interesting. She's like, in her day, she had a dinner man where they would just, like, she got company, he got company, and he seemed to be okay with it because he wasn't asking for anything else. But most likely, he actually did want something else from.
Well, there was
a friend zone guy.
Everyone probably is familiar with the Black Dahlia, who was murdered. It's like an infamous murder in Los Angeles. Everyone thinks she was an actress that was like desperate and she was a slut and all this stuff. And like she got murdered from, you know, sleeping around. I actually went on a Black Dahlia tour around Los Angeles.
Oh, expert coming up.
Incredible thing. I actually loved it, but they really talked strongly about how she had dinner men also, but they didn't call it dinner men. But she was from the East Coast. She had traveled out here. Her father lived in Long Beach, but he didn't really care for her. So she was really just trying to survive. And she did not sleep around.
She failed.
She actually had like feminine problems. Like she, I don't know, had like
some,
it was painful to do it.
Okay.
Basically. Oh. It's just emotionally
painful. You can only have dinner.
Vaginismus. Vaginismus.
You learning from Dr. Drew?
Magic.
It's called 15 years on Loveland.
Exactly. You know, everything.
It's called vaginismus.
I believe it. I believe it. So, anyway, she wasn't sleeping around with guys, but she was always seen with men. Mm-hmm. And so, but it was literally just to get dinner.
Her death, some very, very horny, angry man who was not getting
it. Well, they actually, he's like, how can he get it?
The theory of the people who ran the tour thought that, their theory is that because she had those gynecological problems, mm-hmm. she always went to see a doctor who was very well respected in Los Angeles, but he did like pro bono cases. And he basically worked on her for free. When they found her, her body was severed in half.
Yeah, well, there's plenty, and she was
set drained up in of blood.
Manner, right. And her, but, she had the Joker smile. I mean, he went to town.
But all of the incisions were made in a very medical way.
Right.
And oh, really?
And they found that doctor had very dark, like creepy porn, like abuse porn and stuff. And he had a lover.
Yeah, back then that is red flags. Nowadays, everyone's got something horrible.
Right. Well, everybody's got dark porn.
That's who they thought it was. But anyway, really? She always went out for dinners with men, and then she got murdered. So good luck, women.
Yeah, exactly. I know my mom. Lucky her.
You're still hungry now?
Yeah, exactly. Damn. But I thought that was really interesting. Because she was like, yeah, he had a lot of money and he was a doctor.
Is he much older?
That I don't know.
Huh.
I actually don't know. Oh, he wasn't the doctor. That was from another story. But anyway, this guy had a lot of money. My mom, but she told me another story afterwards.
There's a salad guy too? Soup?
Tossing her salad guy.
There's a crouton guy.
Wasn't Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld, in one of the episodes, wasn't he the dinner guy?
The dinner guy?
Yeah, and he was furious because he was taking somebody out. I think it might have been Elaine, and he was taking her out, and then she was getting banged right after. He was paying for the dinner.
And she was getting sex afterwards. Yeah. I find it embarrassing. Because I think a lot of guys end up being the dinner guy, which is like, you know, the friend zone, nice guy versus asshole, even... I don't want to say it. But that is
exactly.
But that's what ends up happening is you end up being a dinner man. If you don't want to be a dinner man, then you have to ask to not be a dinner man and show that you want something else. Challenge, tease, flirt, put your intentions out there. You can't just be complacent.
It's hard because then you set yourself up rejection as soon as you do that.
But then, you know, and then you potentially have something there.
But ultimately, you know what? There is something to be said for the friend part of it as well, unless it's driving you crazy. But there is plenty of girls that I've been friends with in the past. And even if I'm never going to have sex with them, I'd still like them in my life.
Right. But that's because you wanted them as friends. Like my au pair right now.
You want to be her friend?
Yeah, I want to be her friend.
My au apple?
No, but she's meeting all these guys. We're like, I want to be friends with you. But as soon as she doesn't really offer anything else up, they're like, see ya. They're over it. Okay. The thing
big memories.
She does.
Yeah.
Very nice ones. They're not real. What I wanted to bring up today for
horrible memory.
This week's chapter in the man's playbook.
Are you horny to win?
I thought you were going to say the thing, and then I was going to hit you with the thing, and then you'll say what.
Oh, so okay. The thing is, wait, what do you want me to say?
Well, I thought you were going to say what I want to bring up is this topic, and then I was going
to hit. Oh, what I want to bring up is something else that my mom did bring up to me last week, which is about if you are interacting with a woman, you're kind of dating her, and you live in a different city, you have to offer another room when you ask her to come visit you. And that's what I want to talk about in this week's chapter in the man's playbook.
Are you horny to win?
I'm horny to to never hear that again.
Where is that from?
I love it now. I have no idea.
I put that together somehow,
so
somewhere.
You had somebody voice that?
No, I found that somewhere. I don't remember where.
Are you horny to win?
I think it's brilliant, honestly. I think it's so funny.
Some porn that he was watching, obviously. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I'm not sure if I explained this correctly, but.
I got it. You have to have multiple bedrooms and.
Right, to offer.
What if you're a bachelor who lives in a one bedroom?
Well, the thing is,
your mom's living in the
offer to stay at a hotel. So she is,
but it's okay to live in the past.
But I'm saying, because my sister told me, we went back home. We always had a powwow after the show because this show sparks a lot of great conversation, obviously. And so we were talking about my mom when she was younger, prior to my father, she had met this doctor in Toronto. I'm going to screw up the story a little bit, but he had come down to the United States to work in California, and they were still writing to each other. They were writing letters as well. They weren't even calling each other on the phone because it's very expensive back then. So they would be pen pals. And
still is, by the way. Still is.
Yeah, that's true.
My mom's from Canada and she called and I pay for her line and she's constantly calling. Fucked.
Jesus, just get her magic jack.
I told her about that. So I don't know how it works.
Oh, God. Yeah. You have to set it up for her. Okay. But this invited her
mom
to come down to California and visit him. And because my mom is a little scared to do things sometimes, especially back then, you're going down to California to see.
And where was your mom living?
In Toronto.
Oh, she was up in Toronto.
Yeah, so it was exactly like Canada as well. So
I heard it in your voice a couple of times.
Oh, sorry.
That's sweet. But so she's like, I don't know, do you have an extra room?
But because he didn't say, I have an extra room or I'll put you up in a hotel or something like that, it made her nervous.
Right.
And she said no to it. Had he said yes, I could have been from California or somebody.
You probably wouldn't exist.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But still, I'm just saying, like, she would have said yes if that was offered to her, because she was saying, well, if I went down there, I knew what I was saying yes to. I knew that I was saying yes to sleeping with him, sleeping in the same bed. And I didn't know if I was ready for that, if I wanted it yet. I knew that I liked him. I was curious, but I wasn't ready to do that. And she's a very nervous person. And my sister told me a story about another friend of hers who had a similar situation. My sister's 30 years old, so younger. And she was saying that her friend had met this guy over the phone because one of her friends said, here, talk to this guy randomly. And then the guy asked if he could call her on his own. They became phone friends, email friends, and all of that. And then he invited her to London to come see him. And he offered another room. She said yes. And now they're married with two kids.
Wow. So,
the other room is like a red herring almost.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you want another room? Which is really saying, hey, we're going to bang for sure because you're coming now because you have no excuse.
Right, exactly. But I think that it instills this sense of choice
right
when you go there. And I think that's something important to talk about.
What's probably more realistic and that happens more often, though, than long-term relationships that aren't sexual,
right,
at least through via Skype or FaceTime nowadays. I think what's more apt to happen probably is like there'll be a couple that have not slept together yet, but they're getting close and then they go out of town. Now, is he in the same position where they go out of town? If they're going to like Yosemite, does he have to get like two rooms, two beds at least? I mean,
I guess that's
probably something that's going to happen.
Well, the thing is, I guess if they've built up something and the intentions are known, I don't know, actually.
I guess offer it. Just say, hey, do you want me to get you your own room?
Yeah, I think that's how you do handle it. But I was just kept thinking about this guy with my mom because they're writing letters to each other. Like, what if he was like, shit, he forgot to include that in the letter and he'd already mailed out a letter. You can't like write another follow-up letter saying, I meant to write this.
I still can't even
Can you imagine?
Wrap my head around it.
I know.
And I'm old. And I can't wrap my head around how communication, like you'd leave the house and like if they didn't call, they just.
Or if they did call, you have no idea.
Right.
You have no idea, which means that guys can call over and over and over again. That is the benefit rather than now where you call twice and you see it.
Right.
You see that you are a stalker right away. But the chapter in, why am I screwing this up
today? So many ways to stalk. Anyways, go ahead. So,
yes. But. Oh, Kristen's like throwing me out by walking in and out of the room. Exactly, dancing around.
Kristen's got a lot of energy.
I'm not really part of the conversation, so I left.
But I think that's okay. To go back to the offering the room thing, I think that is something that you should be doing if you are corresponding with a woman who you haven't really been intimate with yet. Maybe it's long distance. Maybe it's not long distance, but you haven't really met.
I want that room in marriage. If he offers to get married, he's like, you could have your own room. I'd be like, I'm in.
Well, a lot of you ladies do, right?
What do you mean?
I mean, like my wife kind of has her own room.
Yeah.
That she sleeps in every night?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She doesn't sleep in it, but she gets ready in it. She keeps her clothes in it.
Oh, well,
it's supposed to be where I kept my clothes, but now her clothes are in there. And yeah, it's space.
Yeah, we have a 2-bedroom apartment. She has her own room. I don't have a room.
Yeah, I hear that.
She needs her own room to have her room to do things.
And then you guys
I've got a masking taped off corner in the kitchen that I
but you sleep in the same bed.
Of course, yeah, but she needs to have her own
space. Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, we get very little square footage is what's wrong with
right.
Well,
obviously, right. It's not super common, right?
We're outdoors exactly. Chopping wood.
You're men.
Yes.
Like, we had John Saley in here a long time ago, basketball player, and
he gave his wife.
I went to a strip joint once.
They have separate homes.
He was the only person in there.
Really?
Where?
I believe
a strip
it.
Joint.
Oh, I believe
it. Oh, yeah. I completely believe it. He's probably getting ready to sleep with the person, too.
The only person in there. And the strippers. There's just strippers and Sally and me.
Oh, I believe
and
it.
And a disc jockey that I was dragged there. Whose name I will not mention.
You're sorry. Too many distractions.
I'm sorry. My friends here.
You're throwing off all of our vibe. It's also lighting. It's weird. Okay. But anyway,
Black Dahlia, real quick. I'm sorry. Black Dahlia, where do they find her body?
Over.
Did they take you on a tour and show you?
Like South LA.
Is there like a building there now, or is it an empty field?
It's a neighborhood.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah. And they took us, the owners of the house that's built on the lot.
Uh-huh.
They're fine with the people, like the people coming on. So we were all.
They're cool with it. Like, just tourists going to their house every day.
Well, I don't think there's that many tourists.
This chapter is not very successful, obviously.
I know.
The Black Dahlia.
We're ADD, man.
Seriously.
People who listen to podcasts are ADD too. So
that's true. Okay. So now back on point.
Yeah.
What is the point that we're trying to make about
separate rooms.
Yes, offer a separate room, right?
I think it's a really great idea. Honestly, I think there's a lot of women like me who are really uncomfortable with the idea of like doing it unless, you know, you're super together all the time or you're drunk.
Yeah, and it would make me feel safer.
I think also you'll find a really good girl that way because
I think so too.
And you can tell a lot about her because maybe she'll choose not to stay in that room. And you're like, oh, it's
like on The Bachelor, forego your private suite,
even though that show's horrible, of course.
The subtext is right there. I have no idea what you're talking about when you talk about that show. But the subtext is there. When you're saying, hey, do you want to spend the night? She says, yes. That means, do you want to bang?
Yes.
You say, do you want to spend the night? I have an extra room for you.
That means she wants to get to know
you. I want to get to know you. And I also want to have the option not to bang. And that's what I'm going to go with. It's the subtext. It's what you're not saying.
Very kind.
Right.
Very kind. Okay.
Personally, I think that most men, though, will not do that because they want to have the opportunity to not put that out there and not get a yes or no answer and have the chance to either liquor them up or whatever it may be that they don't want to offer that.
This is the worst option.
They have a better chance to get it if they actually did
offer. This is an option for men who are a little classier, who are really looking to settle down, who want more of a strong structure in their relationship.
Right.
This is not the option for like the dude who's like sweaty in his ball sack and like wants to go now.
Wow. That was very graphic.
That wraps up this week. One more point.
I think that what might actually even be as effective than another room is just staying on the couch. Especially nowadays, money's tight for people.
Right, that's
you know
true.
What I mean? Say,
well,
hey,
as long as she's not staying on
have,
the couch.
You can have my room. I'll sleep on the couch, which I've done.
Bitch, take the couch.
Yeah. Just offering up an alternative. I think that you're 100%
correct. Yeah, sleeping. Just talk about the sleeping arrangements before it happens.
That's not scary.
It makes you look classy.
Exactly.
It makes you look like you're not trying to lure her into your bed, which is what you're doing. But
right. Yeah. But then it doesn't look that way.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfect. All right. And that wraps up this week's chapter in The Man's Playbook. After this break, we have Kristen's friend.
Yeah, Allie Breen. She's a funny comic, and she's going to talk to us about her dating life.
Awesome.
Stay tuned.
90-year-old.
We are back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the baseball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code CLNS50 to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
If you listen to the Ask Women podcast, then you are already miles and miles and miles ahead of other men when it comes to attracting and getting the girls you want. But I must confess, there's one missing piece in the puzzle, and that's flirting, or the ability to ignite sexual chemistry with any girl you meet in a matter of minutes. Most guys suck at flirting. They can't flirt their way out of a paper bag. But as your personal wing girl, I can't let you be one of those guys. That's why I want to show you the most effective step-by-step formulaic approach to flirting with any girl you like. This formulaic approach has been tested on thousands of girls and has been proven to work like magic. Yes, magic. You just apply the formula and see results instantly, and it's that powerful. To find out everything about this flirting formula, all you have to do is go to winggirlmethod.com/flirty. I've made a special video for you where I reveal what this formula is all about. Go to winggirlmethod/flirty and you'll find out all about it.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Ask Women podcast. We're here with Ellie Breen, the very funny comic, very adorable girl as well. Thank you for coming, Ellie.
Thanks for having me.
I feel like I'm going to go into NPR mode with you here.
That would be weird.
Today we're going to talk about...
Yeah. Okay. I don't know anything about politics, so I couldn't go into NPR mode.
That would be awesome, an NPR show where people just have no fucking clue what they're talking about, but they still talk
that way. Isn't that
really sanctimonious still? That's yeah.
It's not bad, right?
Any news channel.
No, because America sounds like this, and I gotta tell you what, but like, it'd be cool if they're NPR and they still talk like this, but they have no idea what they were saying.
You just have to, and that's a lot of down note. Everything has to be on the down as opposed to the up. The up is entertaining, the down is NPR.
That is very true. Do you think they give them like lessons?
He was just saying that Ellie doesn't have
Yeah, she can't hear anything.
Ellie's deaf.
I know, she's weird.
He did like gesticulate a lot, so he was passionate about whatever he just said.
We all have headphones except for Ellie.
He was talking about teddy bears.
I gesticulate on teddy bears all the time.
Very passionate. So I kind of, you know, like dropped the ball last week and just said, oh, my friend went out with this guy and he... everything was going well, and then he had braids to go hiking. And that kind of was like, that kind of killed everything.
Well, it was so funny because already to begin with, he has long hair, which I've never dated a guy with long hair. I mean, like shoulder length hair. And so, but the guy, he's like so cool and it's cute. And I was like, you know, I was at the point where I was like, I think I'm really getting into this.
I'll give his long haired guy a shot.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like sandy, like, okay. Dirty blonde, kind of. It's like brown.
Southern California surfer dude.
Kind of, a little bit, but
he's got like a hipster vibe.
It's like more hipster. That's exactly it. It's more hipster. Yeah, thank you.
Does he have a mustache?
He does.
Mustache, too. Okay, so you gave a lot of chances.
Right.
Okay.
So it's one of the, like, that's not normally my thing, but the guy's great. And so I was like, all right, I think I'm getting into this. And he's so cute because this doesn't happen to me anymore. At least when someone comes to pick you up, it's like, that doesn't even happen. It's like you meet someone somewhere.
Yeah.
But he was like, I'll come pick you up. And he doesn't just come to the front door. He parks. He walks up to my apartment door. And no.
That would be a little bit much. Yeah, that would be way too much. With the braids, especially.
Oh, God.
Did he have the braids when he walked up?
So that's what happened. We were going to go hiking and we hadn't done anything like athletic. We'd just done like dinners and stuff. Uh-huh. So the braids are for activity. Yeah, and he has braids.
No.
And it was just one of those like killer moments where I was like, no, don't. You have no idea how badly timed.
Two braids.
This is. Two, like pigtails.
Pigtail braids. Okay, pigtail now braids. There's also this. Does he know how to braid his own hair?
That's exactly, because now I'm picturing him like, in the mirror.
Braiding his hair for him.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Wasn't a French braid? No.
No.
Okay. Any respectable woman would not have braided his hair.
It was Princess Leia braids. Oh,
a lot of non-respectable ladies.
Can you imagine?
The little buns.
Can you imagine?
Let's go hiking.
And then the worst, here's even the worst part.
Did you call him Pippi?
I really did.
I know.
Exactly. Calm down, Pippi. This is not going to work out.
This is going to work. Turn it around.
Yeah.
So then we got back. We were going to go to lunch. And
I'm going to interrupt.
Yeah.
Did it make you feel weird the entire, like, were you fixated on them the entire day?
Until we got hiking, I was fixated on them. And then we hiked.
Well, because then you got fixated on like being exhausted. So it's like you lost energy.
Exactly. Then you
to judge.
Then I was just gasping for breath. Right. So, and trying to not pass out. But then we got back and we were like, oh, let's like shower and go walk somewhere for lunch. And, he kept the braids in.
After he showered. So he did shower.
Yeah, and
he showered. The braid?
No, he like just showered, like rinsed off, like didn't shampoo or whatever.
This first date?
No. That's the only reason that it was.
How many dates in?
So weirdly enough, it's only like the third or fourth date, but I've known him for like 2 years.
Okay.
And I've never seen him wear. I was like, where did these braids come
from?
No.
Oh, no, you got to address it.
That's the thing. But if you wait too long, then it's like you planned, it doesn't come across naturally. So you almost have like a window of where you can.
So how should she address it?
Oh.
Is it like a serious conversation or is it, I'm going
to
make fun of you?
I think it has to be playful. Yeah. It would have to be.
It would have to be like, seriously, you're wearing braids?
Yeah. Well, no, it's something like really Pippi. Hey, Pippi's here.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Depends on the guy. I mean, if he's a hipster with the mustache, so many of these, God, I sound old when I say this, but so many of these young fucking kids are so easily offended too. Like, yeah, are you being homophobic right now? Like,
but he wouldn't be dating her if he was, because you're a comedian, so I'm sure you would.
Yeah, he quite often. And he has, like, he has funny. A lot of comedy background or whatever. So,
obviously.
I think...
making everybody laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
One of my friends said, our friend, one of them was like, maybe that's a test to see how you react.
Yeah. Which, and you failed.
That's right. I was like, what's the winning way? Because I think I was supposed to say something if that was a test.
I used to have long hair, and if I show up at a girl's house who I don't know that well, and I'm wearing braids, I'd be shocked if she's not saying something. I'd be just waiting for it. Like, I'd be wearing it to get her to make fun of
right?
Her.
And
she's known each other for 2 years.
Probably.
Yeah. But the thing that's important about
maybe
this
you
is
failed.
That.
I think I did. I think I failed. That would be funny if after that he was like, I'm sorry, but I can't take
you. Have no sense
it's not going to work out. This is
exactly. You like the braids.
And then you like show up at his apartment with your hair and braids. You're like, please take me back.
Yeah. See, I'm trying.
But I want to understand more about like what was going through your head and where you are now with it. Like, if that one, let's call it a mistake. Maybe it was a test, but one mistake ruined it for you.
It really could have. Like, if had I not known him for 2 years and I already really like a lot of things about him, it really could have killed it.
Right.
But the other thing was too, like, we went to dinner once afterwards. And then, like, I was telling Kristen, we're going to play tennis. And so it's already points he can play tennis because it's hard to find people that like me. But I was like, God, like if he shows up with braids one more time, I don't think I can do it. Like I'd have to say something and I don't know what would happen. But he came with like a regular, like pony, like he had like a grungy guy ponytail. And I was like, that's cute. That's
which
fine.
Is attractive.
That's attractive.
That's cute.
That's the tennis look.
Yeah, you think it has to go back to hiking?
What would be worse, the braids or pigtails just without the braids?
Oh, I think that'd be a lot worse. Pigtails would be a lot worse.
Right?
Yes, it would be a lot worse.
Maybe that would be then, so over the top that like obviously he's just fucking around.
Then he's really trying.
Or like that's the sideways 80s thing.
He has like curled bangs next time.
Yeah. But because you did like him and you like his personality, it didn't ruin it for you. But you're saying if some guy who you didn't really know very well, so you didn't have an attachment to him, if he showed up at your door for a first date to go hiking, he had braids, that could ruin it for you?
I think I'd literally have to be like, oh my God, I just remembered I have a meeting at 3. We can't do this.
You would
like,
yeah,
it would really be
like the most bad sitcom move to get out of it ever.
Like my phone would ring and I'd be like, what? You're at the hospital. I'll be right there.
What about other guys that you've dated? Have there been things like that that have put you off?
There's been things that have put me off, but it's usually normal things like the guys are too loud or obnoxious or drink too much or like really more typical things. I mean, this was weird. That's not a normal problem that you're like, I like this guy, but he showed up in pigtails.
Right.
Well,
exactly. I told Allie, you're a bitch, right? If you're like, I'm breaking up with this guy.
Well, that.
Yeah.
I told Allie that when I first started dating my boyfriend, we were long enough in where I could definitely say something comfortably, but he put on a bandana, but it was like in the way. Light blue, actually, like powder blue, which is kind of random. You don't really see that. But he put it on in the way in which my mom would have wore it in the 70s, like back, like she was doing laundry.
Right.
And his hair was long and that was really bad. And so I instantly said, honestly, I can never see you in that again. Ruin it.
But that's funny coming from you. That's
well, yeah, because we were that far in. We were far enough in, but it was shocked me because I thought he had better judgment than
that's
that.
That's the other
And it was like, did you
but
fool
it's a
me this whole time?
Factor
yeah.
Too.
Right.
Like it's maybe he's comfortable enough around. I'm kind of coming around with these braids. I'm going to be honest with you.
Every time I have this conversation, that's what ends up happening.
Does the other
like, I think
around?
He was testing you and it was a good move. And I think that he's on. Like, what?
It's a comfortability factor. And like, he's comfortable in his own skin and he's comfortable around you enough that he can do something ridiculous.
But hopefully it was a one-time thing. Let's hope that
you'll find out.
So we've gone out a bunch more times, and like I said,
how have you never talked about this with him? You have to send him.
You have to.
Now I
just play this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you listen to this before we go out next time?
Is something that I just discussed about you
in front of millions of people.
Exactly. In front of, I maybe should have brought it up
trillions
to you first, but this is how I operate. Get used to it.
Well, this is how I'm going to break up with you. Actually,
one of the really funny thing. So when I'm telling them the story, we had like a girls' night at our friend's house and I was telling him about this. And then I hung out with him the other day and Lauren lives right by him. So we were walking to get food. We ran into our friend Lauren and we're talking for a few minutes and Lauren goes, oh my God, it's so nice to officially meet you.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So he now knows you've been talking about him.
Totally. And he was like,
oh, that's
which brings me to Seinfeld reference of hot and heavy. If anyone's listening, you know Seinfeld, the hot and heavy.
I know Seinfeld for sure.
Someone tells the guy Elaine's been dating that she said they've been hot and heavy. And she's like, I never said hot and heavy. Oh, now he thinks, I think we're hot and heavy.
Right.
So anyway.
That was exactly the same thing.
But it's not like, oh, you're the brain official.
Now it, yeah.
Unless he has terrible self-esteem, he'll take that as a compliment. Like, oh, she's been talking about it.
Yeah.
It's not a compliment in this case, necessarily.
Right. That's true.
Oh, this is
you're talking about him in a positive way. You're not saying, like, I'm never going to see this guy again.
I like him more and more every time I see him. Yeah.
But that definitely, Lauren doing that definitely did a jump in the relationship.
I like this guy a lot.
Hey, Anderson, the host is talking.
Yeah, it's true. I was talking to
Vegas.
Kristen, what's up?
Oh, I was just saying that now they have a jump in the relationship and they have to get married.
Probably that's the next logical
step. But
that's
the hair on the wedding day.
I was just gonna say it's gonna be like the most ornate. It's gonna have flowers in it.
You're gonna steal your hair.
Thunder, exactly.
You're like, where's my hair, lady? My hair is in fucking rolls, and he's got her up.
He plays the groom and the flower.
Well, one thing to point out from this conversation is that you've continuously said he's not what I would typically go for.
Yeah.
But I liked him because we always talk about like personality versus looks on this show and expectations as well. You didn't have an expectation to be with a hipster who wears braids on dates and who has like a mustache or something, right?
No, not only that, but like I said, we knew each other a long time and we never even thought about it. And so his personality really was the factor. I mean, he's really fun and great. Yeah. Guys can completely, I think it's more women see through looks easier and good personality really matters. I think guys have a harder
time. Well, how come it took 2 years to be together?
I'm sorry?
How come it took 2 years for you to notice him?
We lived in the same building.
Okay.
And so we just really said like hello and that was kind of it. And we'd run into each other and chat a little bit, but he just moved and then he like asked me on a date.
So as soon as he moved away, who doesn't live in your building is much more appealing.
Which I think we were somebody, right. That would be so awkward to date someone who lives in your building. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Because you can never be like, hey, are you home? And you just be like,
it's very obvious if you're cheating on him. I just saw you in an elevator with a guy.
You said that you were at your mom's house.
Right. Well, so what was that? Okay, so he moved out, obviously, so he wanted to be further away before he asked you out. But did you always like him?
I always liked him as a person, but like I said, he's so not my type that I don't even think I thought.
I met him once. Once, and I would have never, ever thought that they would have gone out.
So why'd you say yes?
Yeah, why did you say yes?
Or it was weird.
Ladies are so open-minded.
Yeah, I know. Well, we were texting and talking a little bit because he acts, and I'm in an acting class, so he was helping me a little bit. And then it turned into like, he was like, oh, I'm going to this play. I have this event thing. Would you want to come? And I was like, yeah, I'd love to go. And then that got postponed. So he was like, I'd still love to take you like to dinner. And then I was like, oh, this is like a real date. So it was so gradual, which is also good. Because if he just moved out, we never talked and he was like, hey, let's go on a date. I'd probably be like, hey.
Any proof that there was a play to begin with?
No. We did. Went to the play. It got postponed.
Okay, there really was.
Next week, there really was. Yeah.
I think that there's very odd things happening considering that you have not talked about the braids. He has not brought up the braids. The braids need to be discussed.
Are you saying it could be the demise of their relationship? She's always holding on.
Obviously, you guys, it's not even the braids themselves, it's just that their non-reaction to the braids on both sides tells me that you guys are not comfortable with each other at all.
Well, now
what if he shaved his mustache and had a Hitler mustache and you just
Ellie is actually half Jewish.
Yeah.
Imagine if you started crying. Not talk about it. I like how you said that, like, careful. We have a Jew in the room.
No, I'm just saying.
Careful where you go.
Look, I'm proud. Look, two Jews.
Yes. Exactly.
Marnie.
One and a half.
My dream.
I would have had to say something if it was. Mustache.
Well, that's a really weird question.
I'm so non-confrontational that, like, if it's someone I know really well, if you showed up with something weird, I could
with a mustache.
If you showed up with a mustache, there's no way you'd get
it. Like when I do in the morning.
If it's a guy, I'm at the point now, I think we're joking around, it would be way more comfortable. But we were still at that, like, I take a long time to get comfortable in front of someone. I'm at that awkward stage for a while longer, I think, than most people might be. So.
No, but that's nice. This is somebody you don't really know that you like. So it's kind of nice if you're not completely comfortable with them and it takes time.
It makes it more fun, like more of an actual relationship developing.
Every time I see him still.
Butterflies.
It is like that. But now I will definitely have to
call him out.
Yeah. Awesome. And you're right. Maybe he wanted to be. You're right. Because I think that's probably weird to him that I didn't say anything to.
Or maybe he just doesn't think about it. He's just like, I'm wearing braids. This is my thing.
Because literally I've never seen his neighbor. That
yeah. She's yeah.
That's why that's the craziest. Why
for me, I think what he was doing is like, I've got this really cute chick and I'm feeling really good about myself and we're going outside and I want to show, her this other side of me. And he just made the worst decision ever.
Maybe there's like a story behind it where like a kid with cancer, like that was their dying wish, was to braid a man's hair and like he was their make a wish. He's waiting for you to bring it up.
So that is what happened.
I bet that's the chances are the highest that was the case.
For sure. Well, I want to get to our next segment, which is called Overanalyze This. We've renamed it. It used to be called Analyze This, but we overanalyze things to death. So most likely we'll get through one question, but people send in questions and we overanalyze them. So are you ready to go?
Just like
ready to go.
Good. All right.
Ready to judge, essentially.
Ready to judge.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Hi. I just started listening to your show yesterday and found it very interesting. I am 28 and the HR manager where I work. I know this is a slippery slope, but is it okay to ask a girl you work with out for a drink? Is manager and manager okay? Is manager and non-manager okay? Or should you just not go down that road? Any advice would be great. Thanks.
I just say no manager, janitor.
Manager, janitor.
Manager, janitor. Anything else?
That was okay. Tough label.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
I think that it's all okay. I don't know. People get so touchy about workplace things, but
you seem to be touchy about living.
Exactly. It's a really touchy situation.
But people are very touchy about dating somebody in their workplace, typically because they can't handle it. They won't. I think they fear something going wrong afterwards. But if they're mature enough, you can't control the other side, obviously.
Right.
But if you think that you can handle a situation, no matter which way it goes. I always say do it. Absolutely. You're at your workplace like 10 to 12 hours a day.
I know I just said manager janitor thing, but I don't think dating the workplace is the best. I wouldn't do it unless like I was head over heels for somebody because it just creates this awkward tension. Now, like if you break up or you show up to work and you're not looking your best and you like this guy and you're uncomfortable all day. I just think it's way too much of a headache. And there are like a gajillion people in the world that just narrowing it down to your like cubicle.
What are you thinking?
Also, if you're, you know, what if you hate your job and then like this guy's doing what you hate and like you're not like bringing out other sides of each other because, you know, you both do the same shitty thing.
But what if you are? What if you're having great camaraderie with this guy at the office? You both
and go for it. But in general, I say it's
do any of you guys have a 9-to-5?
No, but I have. Yeah, and I have dated way back in my work.
And usually, like, if you're 9-to-5, or if you are your work, and like you're where a lot of these people work like 12 hours. I've had jobs where like I am my job.
Right,
12 hours.
Absolutely.
There's really no room for anything outside. Like your world is that workspace.
Yeah.
Art's nodding.
And
Artie agrees.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good. Good.
I think it's an ability to compartmentalize. If you can both do it, then
absolutely.
If you can stick her in a compartment.
Right.
Then it's okay.
The car is that a fat joke? Irritating.
Yeah, you can stick it there. No, but I completely agree with Art and I agree with Anderson.
People are so lawsuit crazy now too, though, because if it's not an equal position, if someone's higher than the other, then that's potential.
And he works in HR.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
so he can maybe like cook the books if there is an issue. Like he could just kind of like, you know,
he's like, sure, I'll file this claim.
Absolutely. He should work in FR, female resources.
So what are we saying? We're saying yes, date,
female resources.
Oh, I get it.
Date. It doesn't matter. Manager, non-manager. I say do it.
I say do it too.
Yeah.
But are they in the same department? Are they going to have to see each other?
We need details.
But then that's up to them, you know, and how much he likes her and how much he likes him. I think it's totally fine. As long
offer
as
her an extra room.
Offer her an extra room. Exactly. All right. Next question. Oh, we got to do. Hey, ladies, I was great friends with a guy for about 6 months before I moved away, and we have talked daily since. I'm moving back, and he now wants me to move in with him. Interesting. My question is it a bad idea to move in with someone if you have not been intimate yet? Thank you for your time. I love the podcast. Rachel. Wait, okay, so they were great friends with this guy for 6 months,
like,
and she moved away, and then he asked her to move in with him. Okay, we're missing a lot of information from this question. So are they now dating?
Right. That doesn't make... Is that a roommate situation?
Right.
Or is that
he's like, I just really don't feel like going on Craigslist.
Yeah, I feel like he's asking her to move in because he has an extra room.
Yeah.
So it's a great idea.
Yeah, well, why not room with your friend?
Move his penis into her vagina because he's a dude. It's going to happen.
Probably.
That's always the bottom line.
So, but her question is it a bad idea to move in with someone if you have not been intimate yet?
So she's the one
saying that she wants to do it as well.
You want to overanalyze that yet says it's going to happen.
Yeah,
like it's in the cards.
Right. So she doesn't even need to move into the spare room. She just moves straight into his room.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if she's the one reading into it, though. If he's like, dude, I just wanted a roommate.
Right. Exactly.
Like
she said yet.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She's more on board. And he's like, wait a minute.
And he's like, my boyfriend Sam comes over every Tuesday.
What the fuck are you doing?
You're really messing this up for us.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so we're a little bit confused, Rachel, but let's say you guys were talking and flirting beforehand. Okay, so is it a bad idea if they're still in the dating phase to move in without being intimate? I say yes.
Yeah.
Get married, I think. Yeah. Shout to the chase.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, yes, if they are in a dating stage, but they haven't been intimate yet, yes. I think that's a bad idea.
There
yeah.
was
yeah, order, in your own place.
There is an order of things that must Absolutely. Be followed.
Yes.
You start with the date, then you kiss, then you eventually kids, bang. Then you're married. And then you move in, and then you...
Did you say professionally bang?
No, maybe a bang. Probably.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
And then you move in, and then you have kids, and then... The marriage, and then you get divorced, and then you
yeah, and then you die.
Life's amazing. Exactly. Then you date younger people. Okay, so that is our answer, Rachel. Ooh, we have time for one more. Howdy from Texas. I love the show, and I appreciate all you have done to help men become better with women. Can you please explain what it means and what she is thinking when a woman gives you the deer in headlights look? I have encountered this quite a lot. Typically, while having a rapport with a woman, and the conversation is clicking, and generally all is well, then. Then the almost all of a sudden, there is an awkward pause and then the look. I have my theories, but I would like to hear from you to get your take on this.
Is he saying, like, I love Frank. Little boys? Like, right, there has to be something extreme.
Yeah, exactly. She's reacting to something that you have
said. Like, you unzip your pants immediately. Is that when it happens?
Right. And it happens over and over and over again. Right. That's kind of disturbing. Yeah,
there's something that you're doing that's like throwing women off. So figure out what that is. But
yeah, what is it that you say right before
the Yeah, exactly. Stop doing it.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're like, what do you think? Obviously,
I'm thinking something. Asperger's.
Because he had a deer in headlights look.
Yeah, just now. Well, just now that's my that's right.
He gave us all deer in headlights.
Yeah.
Just now. Yeah. Like, honestly, there's a man with a suit out there, and I'm highly distractible, and I didn't hear the part that made him have the deer in the headlights. So I missed
He doesn't know what the part is. Okay. He says something, and then suddenly there's
and
like a...
She, and he doesn't tell you guys what he says.
Right.
Oh, no, I bet it's good.
It's got to
exactly.
be.
Exactly.
I wonder if it's always the same thing.
I know. Exactly. And he can't figure out, what is it that I do? All right. Well, that wraps up this week's episode and this segment of Overanalyze This. If you want to ask questions, write into ask@askwomenpodcast.com and download episodes of our show every week, and also subscribe so you don't actually have to download. But I want to thank our guests. Please plug yourselves and tell people where they can get in touch with you.
Internet,
you go first.
Film Vault After Disaster. Yeah, we talk a lot of films and stuff on the film.
You know, this week, I can tell by the film this week, tattoo.
I got a film tattoo that people think of the snake. This week we're talking about top 5 movie weapons.
Cool.
Like we do. We got stuff for the ladies too. We had a top 5 weddings a few weeks ago.
Your bicep should be the top movie weapons.
Yeah, you know what? I need to change my shirt. This is just a shirt and it was too small. Okay, I just threw it on.
Kristen has a deer in headlights look.
I love it.
Buff deer in the headlights.
Well, check out
Allie. Where can we find Allie?
Oh, sorry.
Allie.
Oh, that's okay. Just my website, Allie. I'm right here. AllieBreen.com or on Twitter, Breen Screen.
Green Screen? Wait, spell it.
No, sorry. B. B as in boy. R-E-E-N-S-C-R-E-E-N.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for being on the show. And we will see everybody next week.
Wait, you got to have her come back with braids. With the braids guy.
And Allie will be back next week.
No, theatrically both. Let that never happen.
That's got to get it down on air. That's so good.
When you first have sex, with this girl. Oh, like, just make a comment.
All right. Artist turned the music up really loud today. Get the fuck off.